Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're looking at Psalm 2, and we've looked in the previous episode at the overall psalm and the first four verses or so. So let me go back and start with verse 1 again, and I'm going to read it from the Lexham Bible today. This is a translation that's arising out of the Logos Bible software. Very useful translation. Verse 1 says this: "Why are the nations in tumult and countries plotting in vain? The kings of the earth establish themselves, and the rulers conspire against Yahweh and his anointed. They say this, 'Let us tear off their bonds and cast their cords from us.' He who sits enthroned in the heavens laughs. The Lord derides them." So that's the first four verses again. And so the nations are rising up against Yahweh and against his anointed. And they're plotting in vain. The plot, they can plot and plot, but they don't know where in the who they're really plotting against. Let me put it that way. They think they're going to be able to tear off the bonds and cast off the cords from them. And he just says, hey, God just literally just sits there and laughs at them. Now, verse 5. "Then he speaks to them in his wrath, and his fury, he terrifies them." In his fury, he terrifies them. And so this is speaking of someone speaking in wrath and in anger. What's interesting is that the New American Standard capitalizes this to where it's pretty clear that it's God who's speaking in his anger and terrifying them in his wrath, which I think is true. But the ESV and the Lexham and even the King James don't do that. They don't capitalize it per se. Then verse 6, this is the quote of what is said: "But as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain." That is what the Lord is saying. I have set my king on my holy mountain. And as we said previously, is this speaking of something that is present at that time, or is it speaking of something that is yet to come? Or is it both? I think it's both. I think it's speaking of King David, but it's also foreshadowing and typical, logically speaking, of the Messiah that has come. One reason is because of what we'll see later of how the New Testament uses this psalm right here, how it quotes it. We'll see that later. But verse 6 again: "But as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will tell the decree Yahweh said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And when you hear that begotten thing, immediately we in our mindset on this side of Calvary with the fullness of the Word of God, particularly the Gospel of John, that only begotten son, that have begotten, that rings within us. But it also appears here in the Old Testament. And God's letting David know, hey, I'm the one that's putting you in this position. I'm the one that's placed you here. But in David saying this and knowing this, he is also proclaiming some prophetic truths that are yet to come. He continues in verse 8. "As for me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and your possession the ends of the earth. You will break them with a rod of iron. Like a potter's vessel, you will shatter them." So this is what the Lord has told David. This is what the Lord is going to do in and through the Lord Jesus when he returns again. Verse 10. "So then, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish on the way, for his anger burns quickly. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So the psalmist is saying, hey, those of you who are in the nations, you're raging, the people who are plotting, all this kind of stuff, you know what you need to do? He says, therefore, O kings, you need to be wise. You need to turn, okay? You need to be wise. You're being forewarned right now. You need to serve the Lord. You need to serve him with fear. You need to rejoice with trembling. As a matter of fact, you need to kiss the Son. Again, very strong foreshadowing, Lord Jesus Christ. But even in the example of David, okay, even with that, he's saying, you need to realize that David is king, and the Lord's one has placed him here, or it's going to turn out badly for you. You're going to receive the anger of the Lord. You're going to perish along your way, and his wrath is going to be kindled. And the very last thing, know this, blessed are those who take refuge in him. Blessed are those who take refuge. And so he's letting them know what? Yeah, that you can take refuge in the Lord. And so let me just go through a couple of these things that I've mentioned about the cross references. In the seventh verse, it says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Okay? And we see in Romans 1:4, it says this, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul is tying this into that psalm. But even more so is in Acts when Luke uses it. Luke 13:33 says this, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, you are my son today, I have begotten you. That is very forthright, okay? That is very, that is interpreting what's being said here. Because Luke says, this was fulfilled by raising Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm. Well, was Jesus being raised in the second psalm? Well, when he says, you are my son, today I have begotten you, that gets in this whole thing what begotten means. It's not that Jesus was created. It's not that he never existed. It literally means that he is a one-off, a one-of-a-kind. I think it's monogenes is maybe the Greek word, some form of that. One-of-a-kind. But there's also the thing that when God raised him from the dead, that is a part of the begottening. Okay? We see this here in Acts. It's really quite helpful to see how it's interpreted. Let me see. Hebrews 1, verse 5 speaks to it. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's verse 5 of the first chapter of Hebrews. And that's talking about, hey, you know, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son. And he's quoting the Psalm 2 right here. Hebrews 5:5 says something about it. Let me see. Yeah. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So here, the writer of Hebrews, whoever it may be, we don't know who it is quoting the second psalm and explaining who Christ is and what God did in making him, exalting him to be made as the high priest. And so you see the importance of this psalm. And there's many things like this. Let me see if I got, I'm running out of time. I'll tell you what, I think I'll probably come back in the next episode and just look at a couple more of these things just to where we can understand that the Lord was revealing to David some truths that would not come to fruition for thousands of years. I mean, literally thousands of years. Is that not amazing? Okay, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you all for your time. I'll see you next episode.